kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Wait a second, wasn't that just what Jesus was doing? And so he's calling others and equipping them to do his ministry. Now the names of the 12, and it continues on, and we're not going to go quite into that right now. There's a lot of scriptures. We're going to skip some sections, but he gives a list of the 12. And if you notice, it says so-and-so and so-and-so, so-and-so and so-and-so. Gospel of Mark clues us in on that. Why is that? How were they sent out? Two by twos, right? Kind of like the animals coming in. Disciples going out. Apostles going out. Sent ones. He says he sent them two by two. How many of y'all know it's encouraging to have a partner in ministry? How hard is it when you feel like you've got a big job and you're all alone? I wonder how it would have felt for Moses to have such a big job, and maybe sometimes he felt all alone. But isn't it great? When Moses was looking in the book of Numbers and we talk about the rebellions that people would rise up against him, when even his own brother and sister are kind of grumbling, yeah, Mo, why? How come you got all this authority? And what does God say? He says, you know, I do use you guys. I speak in visions. I speak in dreams. But this guy here, Moses, I talk to him like a friend. Y'all, I put him in charge for that reason. And I speak to him face to face. That's a neat and special thing. How many of y'all know sometimes, I've talked to other people about it, and how many of y'all seen us in older movie, Galaxy Quest? Older movies in the 90s. There's one character who gets, the idea is that it's like Star Trek. Imagine if Will Shatner and everybody else on Star Trek, but it was real, right? And they get taken up, and then they're just like, wait a second, we're actors. But they're expected, these aliens and stuff are crazy. We've been watching your show out here forever, and we think it's all real. They're like, what do we do? Pretend, you know. But it's not, you know, and they do their own thing. And so, but there's one guy who gets caught up, and he's an extra, and he's just smiling the whole time when everyone else is terrified. And they said, why are you so happy? He says, man, I'm just jazzed to be on the show, man. And it's like, sometimes that's what we, I think, feel like, right? When we look at Jesus and how great he is and everything, and we realize that he's called us, he's loved us, he's died for us, he's paid for our sins. And then when we get there, we're just like smiling. It's like, what's up with you? I'm just glad to be on the show. I'm just glad to be included. I'm not Will Shatner. I'm not Scotty. I'm just a red shirt, but I'm happy that he chose me and I get to be there. And that's the, I think, attitude sometimes for some of us, because Moses needed help. And even Jesus says, I want you. And I'm going to call you to step up, and I'm going to call you to bring the ministry. Because how many of y'all know that the ministry of the gospel is pretty important, isn't it? The ministry of the gospel, when people talk about the important things we can worry about, and I don't want to say worry, that's even a bad word, the things we can be preoccupied with, the things we can put our focus. If we're in Christ Jesus, what is our biggest number one concern? It's going to be honoring God and doing what he wants us to do, being faithful to what he's called us to do. There's a whole lot of problems in this world, amen? Not amen that there are problems, but amen, it's true, there's a lot of problems in this world, right? Things, ooh, because I have overcome the world. Ooh, man, girl, you're preaching. Yes. We can be of good cheer because Jesus has done this and he has called us, but he's also empowered us to do what he needs us to do. You know what I love when Jesus is talking about the parable of like those servants, right? The master who goes away and he equips and gives to each servant a certain amount. You know what I love is that when the faithful servants are rewarded, and some of them had a ton of stuff, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did well with what I gave you. Enter into the inheritance. What about the guys or the people that only had half that much? Well, when they were faithful with what they had, he says, well done. It's the same thing. How many of you all feel sometimes like God maybe didn't give you too much? Not quite enough. Oh, y'all think God gave you a lot of gifts. All right. So if God gave us a lot, he judges on what we're faithful with what we have. And if God has given us much, we are faithful. We are expected to be faithful with what we have. Whether that is information and knowledge, whether that is blessings, physical, spiritual, mental, you name it. God has equipped us to love him and to love other people, to share his message and his gospel, to go out. And so God equips these 12 people because he has, what's that first part of it? He says he cares for the people. He notices that there's a problem. He looks out at Israel and sees they are like sheep without a shepherd. Guys, remember back in Ezekiel, God was talking to Ezekiel and he says, you know what, guys, I'm upset at how Israel, what happened with it. And he says, I'm seeing that it had shepherds who were not doing the job. Sheep were not getting fed. They weren't being taken care of. Lost were being ignored. In fact, what was worse, the shepherds were fleecing the sheep, using them for their own benefits. Jesus sees the same kind of ministry here. And he does something. Let me ask you this. Who is the good shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd. That good shepherd that God talked about all the way back in Ezekiel 34. And he's judging Israel for how the shepherds did not lead. The good shepherd is here. But yet he calls us to come help shepherd. Sometimes we might look at that and say, that's just for pastors. They're shepherding. Well, part of it. How many of us have a little bit of a shepherd ministry and responsibility? Because a shepherd does what? The shepherd feeds the sheep, don't they? The shepherd is called to love and take care of the sheep. When the sheep are lost, the shepherd goes and looks for it. How many of us in our own house have lost sheep? There you go. But I also know you're telling them about Jesus in your home. We all have lost sheep that we know. We all have lost sheep that are close to us. God has given us a ministry in the home. So mothers, dear mothers, can you not relate to being a shepherd more than most? When you have someone whom, think about it, when you have a kid, it takes a little while for that little one to look at dad and say, that's my dad. At first they're like, that's that other guy. But here's the one that feeds me and takes care of me, right? There's this relationship, but we recognize God is so good that he loves us so greatly. That he gives us parents sometimes. Anybody perfect parent up here? How many of you glad in God we have a perfect parent? Amen. Who provides for us and gives us the example of how to love. I think we can recognize that even in our own homes. And even in our own homes, the ministry and calling of a shepherd. What was his message? And that's the second point put in there. The message of the shepherd. When we look through it, it says he was preaching the kingdom of God and shared, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 7, it says the kingdom of heaven is there. And in Mark, he says, preach that men should repent. All these different Gospels talk about the same section. Jesus is going and sharing the message. And in the context of our homes, are we not called to shepherd our family, to shepherd our children, to share the message? Now, are we responsible for how it's received? No. Can anybody else control someone else's heart? I got a problem with my own. Amen. I wonder sometimes where there's so many struggles and things coming at me. And sometimes it's like, I rebuke you, Satan, get out of here. I don't want none of that. But I know that sometimes I got these problems inside too. And sometimes we have a hard enough time in that. But the great thing about it is that the message we can't. How many of you have ever been brokenhearted because you seem to can't reach somebody? Sometimes it's so hard. But we also have to understand that we have a greater shepherd, that we serve a greater shepherd, that we need to be responsible for what we're called to do. Did God put it on your plate to save people? Or did he put it on his own? He does ask us to be a part of it, absolutely. And he calls us to commission, to preach and teach. But he's the one who changes hearts. We can take responsibility that's not ours. Sometimes we think God has given us this and he just gave us this. Let me ask you this, folks. In a world where it's so easy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we have all these means, even amongst a cancel culture, we have means to share, do we not? There's brothers and sisters that are dying for sharing their faith in the street. Do we take advantage of the freedom that we have now, even though we're grumbling over losing some of it? We should. But I'm wondering how much am I doing when I look at this and feel self-righteously angry about certain things taken away, and we should. Not self-righteously, but we should be upset about that. But how much am I taking advantage of what I have to do the job? Am I just complaining, darn it, you're making my job a little harder? Am I doing my job in the first place? It's hard to complain at someone else when they're taking away my ability when I wasn't doing the job to begin with. Or I could be doing it better. And what I have in Scripture and through history, we see that God has equipped his church in such a way and blessed them that even when Satan and the world is trying to attack the very means by which I can share, God has then made his gospel so much greater, more splendid and grander, and has worked it. It is his miracle, not my abilities. It is his working in us. Not that we had superpowers to do this, but he gives us what we need. And he works with other people at the moment so that his word would be shared and his word can be shared. And again, sometimes we look at ourselves and say, well, God, what about What about all these other things? It's going to be hard, isn't it? I want you to go to the third point, last point of today, the promise of the shepherd. Go to Matthew 10. I want you to go, please, if you would, to verse 9. He's sending them out and says, don't acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey, even tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. Now, he's sending these guys out just for a limited range. He tells those apostles, just go to Israel right now. I want to send you out and I want you to preach this word. I want you to perform these miracles that I've empowered you to do. He says, into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who's worthy of it. And abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give your greeting. If the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace be upon it. If it's not worthy, let your greeting of peace return. Whoever doesn't receive you nor heed the words as you go out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. That's kind of a hard thing. Sometimes people just don't want to receive the message. And whoever does not receive you or heed your words, you go out, shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's a hard word, isn't it? And yet, why did Jesus commission him? Because it said he cares. Because he saw the people, saw their need, and so he's sending workers. This message, although it's directed and he's speaking to the apostles now, is it any different for you or I today? That we are still called of God to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ Amen. With the people that are around us. It is not impossible. When God tells you to do something, it's impossible for you and me, but with Him, it's always possible. Amen? Amen. He's going to do things we don't even know how to do. I don't know about you. How many times have I said something and I just thought, boy, that was stupid. Nothing's ever going to work like that. And I watch people come and say, hey, you know what? Here's what God spoke to me. You're like, I didn't say that. That's because God's at work. He can use... Can you guys say this with me? God can use even me. God can use even me. Even me, right?
I can't believe it. Yeah.
Nope. He is faithful. He is good. He can use even me.
I can't believe he picked me.
Ooh, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That he is called and picked. Absolutely. And then we're told here like this that these struggles are going to come. And he begins to list some of them. In fact, in verse 16, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they'll hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You know, guys, there's lots of different wolves. You know, when I think of like wolves, I think of like the Wolf of Wall Street. I'm just going to do a little play on words here. This is like the wolves of Main Street. What we're being warned is that if we take a stand for Christ, we risk, in this case, he's talking about the synagogues and the courts. You know what that means in our context? That's legal stuff. That's the local church even. You are going to have people who are of congregations of God, or so-called, that are going to come against you if you preach Jesus. How many of y'all think that we may see that more? I think we may risk seeing that more. And he says, you've got to be aware of this. He says, they may even hand you over to governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. Interesting thing is if he's just talking to the disciples and he's just going to the lost sheep of Israel in the section, but then this is a warning saying that you're going to be brought before kings and before Gentiles. That's outside of Israel. Starting to hit home a little bit. Because there's also wolves of Wall Street, Pennsylvania Avenue, and First Street, and other places, right? Of other places where government, he says, look, it's not just going to be there. You're going to be brought before leaders. Government will be against you as well. How many of us all know, depending on where we live, to one degree or another, government is against the spreading of the gospel of Christ? We are blessed to be here, folks, at a time where we can. We are blessed to be here. Take advantage of this. The great thing about it is that he promises us in the midst of this, he says, but when they hand you over, don't worry what you're going to say, verse 19, for it'll be given you in the hour what to say. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Anybody else ever been worried about what to say? How about Moses? I can't do it. I don't know. I don't talk that great. I don't know what to say. He says, I'll do it through you. I will give you the words. It's my power. And God here promising those, they say, God, we're just a bunch of Galilean fishermen. We come from different backgrounds. Some of us are zealots. Some of us are just, we're nobodies. And he says, I will have this, my Spirit work through you. So that way you have those answers in those times when you think, at the worst possible time, what can I say? He promises the Spirit. We can argue about what the greatest gifts are, but can we agree that salvation and God giving us His Spirit to live within us is pretty far up there? Oh, yeah. God says, I will come to be with you. The whole point of the tabernacle and the temple and these places of worship where sacrifice had to happen so that mankind could get close to being forgiven and being with God, and Jesus does it all. And then it's no longer a tent we go to. It's no longer a temple we go to. He says, you are the temple of God. Now the temple of God, because of the work of Jesus Christ cleansing a sinner, God can dwell with, not just with man, within mankind. The Holy Spirit living in a believer is a miracle. And this is what He's promising us. The Spirit within you will give you words to say. Don't be afraid. And He has to keep telling them, don't be afraid of this. But the last one is what worries us most, maybe. It's the wolves of your street. He says, guys, don't think I came to bring peace to earth, but a sword. For I came to set man against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He gives a list. He says, summarizing, a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Now, does this mean we set ourselves up as enemies to them? No, it doesn't. What he does say is that if we are preaching the gospel of Christ, there are people who will not want to receive it. In fact, will go so far as to become our enemies. But you know what? Do we know who they are? Hey, God equips us and calls us to become Christians so that we can minister to pre-Christians. And we don't always and can't always tell who somebody is at first. If anybody in the first century had said, look at Saul, he's just ready to come to Jesus, they'd have laughed at you. See that guy killing us every day? I bet you he's just about ready to receive the Lord. No, we don't always know. However, we have a promise. I love what he gets to in verse 26. He's talking about all these things that can happen, about the persecution that comes. But he says, therefore, don't fear them. Don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that will not be revealed and that will not be made known. Folks, this world that we have, how many of you are aching for your new body? Give it to me today, Jesus. Josiah woke up today and says, Dad, my shoulders hurt. I'm like, you want to go down a list? You know? But that's okay. He's growing. He's getting used to new hurts and new pains for him, right? Don't be too hard on him. I am a lot. But it's like I said, you want to start talking about what hurts from top to bottom here? And I bet you there's some of you that are hurting so bad, but you won't tell a single soul about your day and about how much you're hurt. And praise God for your faithfulness anyways, for showing up in the midst of that. We understand that it's hard, but God says, don't be afraid of them. This ain't all there is, and one day everybody's going to stand before me. He says those people who will reject me, he says they will be judged indeed. However, we have a job to preach. To preach the message of Jesus Christ. And he says, don't be afraid of those people who will kill the body, but be afraid rather of who kills the soul. Who is that, by the way? Check your wound. It says, don't fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to both destroy the soul and body in hell. Who sends people? It is not Satan. Oh, somebody got it. Guys, Satan doesn't drag people to hell. People choose. And this is such a hard thing. Sometimes we want to be and look at it like victims. But God has given folks a choice. And there is an opportunity here, but it is the Lord. But the great thing is God isn't sending. We think, well, if he sends them, he's just some mean guy out there just saying, hey, you go there, I don't like you. Yet what does he give us? He gives the message. He gives us all these gifts so that the message can be heard, so that people have a chance to know. This is the love of God, and he's put this out there. I know this is a hard message. It's hard for some. In fact, that's why the world hates it so much. You mean I have to come to Jesus to get everything I want, to be with him and to go to heaven and be saved and be with him forever? Yeah. God has given us one door of salvation, one path that's narrow to walk. And praise God, he did. He doesn't hang our judgment over us. He hangs a door of opportunity this wide and says, come. Think about all the way back to Israel when Moses was sitting there watching the battle and he couldn't stand up and he couldn't raise his hand. So they put a rock under him and they had, Aaron and her? Her, yeah, holding up his arms. hate to say it, I don't know how high they had his arms, but does this look familiar to any of you?
Amen.
When he told Moses when those serpents were attacking the camp because of their disobedience, and he says, go ahead and make a bronze serpent, put it up on a staff, that anyone who looks at that might be healed. And he said, boy, that's really weird. Why look at an image of the curse? But what does it say in Scripture? That Christ became the curse for us. And by coming to Him and looking at Him hanging on that cross, sacrificed for our sins, we might be healed. He became the curse. He bore the stripes that we earned. God has given us a picture of Jesus from the Old to the New Testament the entire way through. The saddest thing is that God has done so much, but people don't understand Him yet. It is a picture of love and of warning. You good moms, you warn your kids, don't touch that hot stove. Don't go there. That is not safe. How many of the kids have cried when they're directed not to, disciplined, pulled away from danger? Later they understand so many lost sheep are like kids who don't know. So with great love we warn. Some will hate us for it. But if we do it as Jesus did, with great love, with great patience, with great sharing, if we can demonstrate Christ faithfully, they still might hate us. But we know we're doing the Father right and proud. We have the perfect example. He set those 12 out there, and y'all know when they came back, they were rejoicing over the powers that God had given them. But what did He say? Don't rejoice that God's given you authority over the demons. Rejoice that your names are written down in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. We can rejoice over great things, but we have a God who cares for us enough to send us out, to equip us for the message, and He gives us the love we need. He gives us the gifts that we need. He gives us people around to support us. Anybody, y'all know God is always faithful. Amen? He has never, ever broken a promise. He has never committed one sin. God's never broken His own rules. The closest He ever got to was taking sinful punishment that was meant for me. I'm so glad that He did. I'm talking too much. Let's pray. Father God, I want to offer a prayer to You and a prayer for moms and everybody that we might remember this, because, Lord, we're confused. Our culture, our world is confused. You gave us a family so that we might know You. Mothers and fathers gifted differently so that we together can demonstrate the character and love of God in a chaotic world. Forgive us when we don't live up to that standard that You've set. Lord, I'd ask You in the name of Jesus Christ, would You remind us of Your great calling, that when the world is so confused about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, we would not go back to what we've heard in the past from culture, that we wouldn't go back to what the movies taught us, that we would go back to look at the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross and His great love and ministry, how He reached the lost, how He healed the blind, how He touched the lepers, how He fed people. And also sometimes how He never compromised on His message. That when people needed to hear truth, even though they hated Him for it, He still did it. But He did it in great love, because people need to hear the truth. The enemy is still spitting out lies. I pray, Jesus, You would make us ministers of truth, to share Your truth with great love, that You would equip Your body by Your Holy Spirit, pour out Your Spirit upon us, that we, Father God, would be filled, overflowing, not just so we can revel in our own holiness and we can rejoice in the feelings and the blessing, but so that we might be effective stewards to carry Your gospel to the next person. Because, God, You've given us all a family and You've given us all a household to be shepherds in. May we minister to the sheep that are there. I pray You break the bonds of the enemy on people in our homes. I pray that You would please bring healing to relationships that have been broken for years. I pray, Father God, that You would bring reconciliation to family members. I pray, Father God, that you touch the hearts of people who are broken over this. I pray that you would give us the courage to show your love to people that we don't. Maybe we just don't want to. Change our hearts first. Help us to go to the lost sheep. Lord, would you continue to call and raise up people? And the whole time I pray that the message of the gospel would be consistent with the message of our hands and feet, that we would go and we would share in your love, that you show us how to share in those moments. But again, we trust the gift, the one you gave us, not just powers, not just abilities, but the Holy Spirit, who softens our hearts and theirs, who gives us words to preach and opens ears so they can hear. May we hear first. Help us to share your word. It is still good. May we not shy away from it because the world hates it. May we also not be so hard-hearted as to grow in hatred for those around us and deprive them from the true relationship that is waiting in Jesus Christ. Give us the strength we need to still reach out, to pray for, to love our families and our neighbors in a world that's broken. May we, as you said, not be afraid of the wolves that are around us, whether they're in our local communities, whether they're even from the church, whether they are governors, presidents, congresspeople, courts. Lord, you've said that we will see oppression because of your message. But you said, don't be afraid. We trust you, Jesus. Help us to grow in faith that your message would be shared by our shepherding lips as you call us all to work for your kingdom in ways many of us will never see, and some in which maybe many will see. But you esteem those parts of the body that are less esteemed by us. You know who you have called and how you want to use them. Thank you for honoring us so greatly to know you and to love you and to share you. May we one day be like the apostles who counted themselves worthy and rejoiced over it when they were beaten or flogged. That's a tough thing to say. That's a tough challenge to hear. But your word, Father God, may we recognize this is Christianity. May we not be confused with the counterfeit, but look to your word and see how you did it, what you said. May we not buy a counterfeit and accept something less than your great commission and your great love you've promised to see us through for forever. We ask this in everything that you want for us in Jesus' name. Amen.